In certain parts and just felt lost. The whole song just feel like we need to be more connected. It just feels very disjointed. Well, we do the same, because we have the same lyrics. We do the same stuff. So... All right, it's
Thank you. as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hand and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a heart.
Good morning, Ascend Church. Has God done anything for you in the past 7 days since I've seen you? All right, I'm guessing that's a no. Let me try that one more time. Has God done anything for you since the last time I've seen you? Well, come on and give God some praise. Give him the glory for being a provider. Give him the glory for delivering you from whatever it was that kept you in bondage. This is our testimony this morning. Let's sing it. Here we go. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. Yeah. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven, and my praise belongs to you forever. Come on, y'all, help me.
This is my testimony from death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
Come together, sons and daughters. Walk with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what he started.
From death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony.
The Bible says that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works he's prepared in advance. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe.
I'm not dead, you're not done.
No.
Greater things are still to come.
Oh, I believe. Help me, y'all.
I'm not dead, you're not done.
I still have a purpose, yes, I do.
Greater things still to come. Oh, I believe, if I'm not dead, you're not done.
Worshippers, anybody have a testimony this morning? Give God the praise. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we bless you in this place. We give you all honor, Father, for who you are, for all you've done. I have seen your hand, God, and you are too good to not believe. Come on, church, give him a praise this morning. Give him a praise.
I've lived stories that have proved your faithfulness, and I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend. And there is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus is you. Jesus is you. And you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not leave. And I can resurrect a man with my own hands. But just the mention of your name can raise the dead. So all the glory to the only one who can. Jesus is you. Jesus is you. And I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. All but everything I've seen, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, too good to not believe.
Many know in this place that God is still a healer, that he still delivers, he still redeems, that his blood holds the power. Come on, somebody.
And I've seen cancer disappear, I've seen metal plates dissolve. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can do it, cause I've seen real life resurrection. I've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it, cause I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. I've seen troubled souls deliver. I've seen addicts finally pray. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. Cause I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen metal plates dissolve. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. Cause I've seen real life resurrection. I see mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. Cause I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. Cause I've seen troubled souls delivered. I've seen addicts finally pray. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. And we'll see cities and revival, salvation flood the streets. Don't you tell me he can do it. Don't you tell me he can do it. And we'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Don't you tell me he can do it, 'cause I know he can. And I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, he's too good to not believe. The wonder-working God. You heal because you love. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. After everything I've seen, too good to not believe.
How many in your life have a testimony of God's goodness? How many of you have seen his hand move in your life? So we will testify today that there's nothing that our God can't do. And I want you to sing that out from your heart. Come on, we're going to prophesy in this place. Oh, there's nothing that our God can't do. No, there's nothing that our God can't do. No, there's nothing that our God can't do. No, there's nothing that our God can't. Hey, oh, there's nothing that our God can't. Oh, oh, there's nothing that our God can't. Hey, oh, there's nothing that our God can't.
Oh, there's nothing that our God can't.
Hey, and I've seen cancer disappear. I've seen mental plagues dissolve. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it. And I see real life resurrection. I see mental health restored. Yes, I know that he can do it.
I know that he can do it.
And I've seen families reunited. I've seen prodigals return. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it. And I've seen troubled souls deliver. I've seen addicts finally pray. Yes, I know that he can do it. Oh, we'll see cities. We'll see cities in revival. Salvation flood the streets. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can do it. We'll see glory fill the nations like the world has never seen. Yes, I know that he can do it. Yes, I know that he can. Yes, I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. After miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe.
I feel faith rising in the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We believe, Jesus.
Exceeding abundantly. Above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, he is more than able. He can exceed your wildest imagination. Sometimes life has a way of crushing the childhood faith that we need in order to excel and exceed in the kingdom. But God is more than able.
When did I start to forget
all the great things you did. When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You are more than able. You are more than able. What the Lord can do, it's so easy for you.
Now I see all that I have, and though I've got my confidence back, I put my trust in the one who still does miracles.
You do miracles. You are more than able. You are more than able. What the Lord can do.
And can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, what the Lord can do. And it's gonna happen, and just let the way make it through. He's gonna move, yeah, he's gonna move. Can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, oh, what the Lord can do. And it's gonna happen, just let the way make it through. He's gonna move, God said he's gonna move. And can you imagine, with all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do, oh, what the Lord can do. And it's gonna happen, just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. Oh, he's gonna move. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
With all of the faith in the room, what the Lord can do. Oh, what the Lord can do.
And it's gonna happen.
Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. Oh, he's gonna move.
Anything
is possible. Anything is possible.
Say you believe it.
Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord
with a loud voice, anything is possible. Come on.
Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Anything is possible. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Who am I
to deny what the Lord can do?
Who am I?
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
And I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. 'Cause I know who I am, and I can't stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. You're not done with me yet.
Hallelujah.
You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me. You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story.
I know.
You're not done with me.
You're
not done with me
yet.
You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet.
Oh, you're not done, you're not done. There's so much more.
Praise the Lord. Just tell someone, he's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. How many of you know it's not over? There's more to the story. Say, there's more to my story. He's not done with me yet. He's more than able. Come on, lift your hand. Tell him he's more than able. Give him praise. He's too good to not believe. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are more than able.
Yet. You're not done with me yet.
Sing it out, sing it out.
There's so much more to the story.
To the story.
You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet.
You're not done with me yet.
You're faithful to complete it, God.
You're not done with me yet.
You'll never forget me, Lord.
There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet.
You're not done.
You're not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story.
To the story.
You're not done
with me
yet. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Who am I to deny what the Lord can do?
God is more than able.
Come on, declare it. Declare it. God, you're more than able. I believe it.
God is more than able.
You're more than able. God is more than able. He is more than able. God is more.
To deny what the Lord can do.
Is he before you?
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that our God is more than able? I don't know what you're facing. But I know that He is more than able to deliver you, to provide for you, to heal you. He's a miracle-working God. And let me tell you, not only is He more than able, because there's a lot of people that believe that God is able. But can I tell you, not only is God able, He is willing. He is willing. When the blind man came to Jesus, or was it the leper? It was the leper. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. You can heal me. And what did Jesus say? I am willing. He is willing. Whatever it is you're facing. Sometimes we believe God is able, but we don't believe that He's willing. But let me tell you, God wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants to turn that situation around. He wants to heal you in your body. It's His will that you be healthy. It's His will that all your needs be supplied. It's His will that you be free. He wants to set you free from that bondage. He is willing. The question is, will you believe? Will you believe? Because all things are possible to those who believe. We want to, right now, I want to ask our prayer partners to come forward, and we want to pray. We want to pray. If you need a miracle, if you need prayer, you need healing, you need restoration in your family, you need to be set free, you have a financial need, you need God to provide for you, whatever it is that you need, this is the time. You are in a place that believes in miracles. You are in a church that proclaims a miracle-working God. Miracles are available right now for you. All you have to do is reach out by faith and receive whatever it is that you need from the Lord today. So if you need prayer, I want you to come right now. If you're watching online, I want to pray for you right now. Whatever it is you need. Our God is a miracle-working God. There's no distance in prayer. The Lord is with you right now, just like His presence is here. And I want to pray for you. If you need prayer, just stretch your hand forward in faith. Father, I pray for every person who's watching this today, whatever their need may be. Father, I thank You that You are a miracle-working God. And I'm asking You to do miracles in their life, miracles of healing, miracles of provision, miracles of deliverance, miracles of protection. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would do a miracle. Let Your healing power flow through their body and restore their health. Thank You, Lord. You're the God who supplies all our needs. I pray, Lord, that You will supply every financial need in the name of Jesus, that You'll bring restoration in families. Thank You for setting people free. I take authority over every bondage, everything that's trying to hinder and hold you back, and I break its power in Jesus' name. I declare You are free. I declare You are healed. I declare You are blessed. I declare that God is moving mightily in your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on, shout out. He is more than able. Say He's more than able today. And I'm so glad that He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides all of our needs. Whatever you may need, just know this, that God is more than able. He's Jehovah Jireh, and He is faithful. He will supply every need in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, sing it out for us.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. yet. How I feel right now on the mountaintop. I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side till the sun goes down.
Chosen, I know who I am, and I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I could imagine, and that is enough. It's enough for me. Oh, I'm already loved. according to his power, he's working in us. He's working in us. Come on. It's more than you ask, think, or imagine.
According to his power, he's working in us. It's more than enough.
It's more than you ask, think, or imagine.
According to his power, he's working in us.
And it's more than enough. You are Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, the Bible, I was reading my Bible this morning and talking about the church, and it's talking about how God has gifted each and every one of us in the church, and the purpose of that gift is to bring encouragement and uplifting to the members of the church. And don't you just feel that with this worship? Don't you just sense that they've taken their gifting and their musical abilities and their voices, and they've used it to encourage the believers. And that's what it's all about, this gathering of believers together. That's exactly what it is, because God wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be uplifted. You know, I don't know how your week went, but maybe you had something that just kind of drained you of your faith, or maybe just drained you of your courage to go on, and you needed some encouragement. I know I need encouragement when I come into the house of God, and that is what the Holy Spirit does amongst us, amen? And so I pray that you've been stirred within, and we'll continue to be stirred within, amen? God has so much more than you could imagine. He's got so much more. You know, the devil wants to put some blinkers on you. Sometimes your circumstances create blinkers where you can only just see the circumstances, and you can only just see what it looks like is going to happen. But the Holy Spirit takes the blinkers off. And I believe he's doing that in the service today. He's taking the blinkers off, and he's getting us to say, when did I start to think that it was impossible? When God says with him, and to all things are possible. All things are possible to us who believe. So today the blinkers are coming off, says the Holy Spirit. Today there are blinkers coming off and blinders coming off. Because there are many of you that have had dreams in the past, and you've had vision of what God wants to do in your life. But because of the side tracks that you've taken, and because of the pitfalls that you've encountered, you've thought that it's just not possible that God can do in my life what he said he would do. I've got to just lay that dream aside because that's just not going to happen now. But the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, don't lay down the dreams that I placed in your heart. There's things that I placed in your heart. The thoughts of God, the plans of God, don't lay them down, because it's not impossible with him. It's not impossible. Do you think he did not know that you would encounter some difficulties along the way? Did you think that he didn't know that you would find some speed bumps that slowed you down, so you thought you would be further ahead than what you are? But God's not taken by surprise. God's not taken by surprise. And I encourage you today by the Spirit of God that he's not done with you yet. Your story's not over yet. He's still writing that story. He's still writing that story. So be encouraged, says the Lord. Be encouraged that I am at work in your life. Hallelujah. You receive that? Amen. I receive that. I receive that. God is at work in our lives. Amen. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them you look so good today. And you may be seated. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. So good to have you worshiping with us this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad that you've joined us. In fact, Pastor Steve, I don't know if you were going to mention this, but I'm going to mention it. We, the person that was watching, are you going to mention that? Somebody gave online this week, and I said to Pastor Steve, this is a name I don't know, and so we emailed the person from the church, and they said that they had been looking for searching. What city? What? They were in Atlanta, and they were searching for something, and they were searching for Ascend Church in their area, and they landed on us, and the lady was saying that the message was exactly, she said the worship blessed her and her husband endlessly, but she said the Lord had been speaking to her about certain things, and she said Pastor Steve got up and preached the exact thing that the Lord was had been speaking to her, and she was just, it was total confirmation. So you never know who's watching. You never know how God uses when, and you know, go ahead, if you're watching on Facebook Live, share it. You don't know who needs to hear a word from the Lord today. They're praying. You know, God answers through people. You know, He speaks through people. Like I was saying, that's part of the church, is for us to encourage one another. And one of the ways we're encouraged is by the teaching of the Word of God. And so when you share that, it gives God the opportunity to speak to people who may not be sitting in our room. Amen. Thank you for the drum roll. Muff. Muff's a great drummer, isn't he? Man, you know what I love about it? You know, we have such professional musicians. This is Muff's career. Our son met him at Guitar Center. He was doing a drum demonstration or something there, and somehow God connected us, and you're such a blessing to us, Muff. Such a blessing to us. And I appreciate the occasional drum roll. But thank you for joining us. Thank you. We just want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? Amen. And so if you are here for the first time, we'd just like to honor you. We don't want to embarrass you. We want to make you stand up, say anything. We'd just like to hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, just wave your hand and let us know. We could hand you a visitor pack. Do you see any hands? Chris always wants to be a visitor. What is it there in that visitor pack that you want so much, Chris? I'll give you one. Remember to always just invite people. You know, we do that. We invite people. Not everybody comes with you, but you never know. Like Tony Corrado. How many times were you invited, Tony? At least a dozen times before Tony came. And he turned out to be such a faithful member of this church and also such a faithful witness. We love you, Tony. You're a blessing. Always, always bringing people in as well, because he knows what it meant for him. But I just want to let you know that we'll pass the clipboard by. Just let us know that you're here. It really helps us. Administratively, if you keep your information up to date, and just for Pastor to know that the sheep are in the fold. So thank you for filling that out as it comes by. And reminder of the various ways that you can watch. Sometimes one of them goes down. You might have Facebook Live. And if that went down, there's always Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube, which I love. There's our mobile app. If you don't have our mobile app, Ascend Church, download it. There's over 100 teachings on there. There's Bible reading plans. There's blogs. There's all kinds of things on there. So there's daily confessions. So download that app if you don't have it. And then also subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share it. And you can watch on our website as well, ascendchurch.us. Praise God. And as Pastor Steve comes up, I want to remind you of our four main purposes of our church. The first one is that we would know God. The second of all is that we would find freedom. I love those things we sang today. You know, I've seen addicts set free. I've seen mental health restored. We could testify, all of us could testify that we've seen God do those things. So we want people to find freedom. We want you to discover your purpose and to make a difference in this world. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It is good to see you. Is it good to see me? Is it good to be in God's house today? Nowhere else I'd rather be. This is the beginning of your week. This is the first day of the week. So you're starting your week by honoring the Lord. And let me tell you, when you start your week putting God first, it makes a huge difference to the rest of the week. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. I want to ask our Connect Group leaders to stand up real fast and come and stand at the front. I just want to introduce you once again. We were at Jerry and Pam's Connect Group on Tuesday night. Jerry and Pam live in Jupiter Farms, and we just had such a wonderful time. Wasn't it? It was so good. It was so powerful. And if you're in Jupiter, man, come and talk to Jerry or Pam. We're not having group this week because the Connect groups take place every other week. So it's bi-weekly. So we had it this last week, and so it won't be this Tuesday, but the following one. But come talk to them because you'll have such a wonderful time. And then Michelle, she had her group here at the church. It's really more for young adults. 18 to 30 is what we're focusing on, and she's a high school teacher, and so come and talk to Michelle. And then Tom and Anna, Anna's back in the children's church serving today. They have a group up in Stewart, and we'll be there next time, not this week, but the next time it operates on a Tuesday, we'll be going there. And if you live in Stewart, Port St. Lucie, come talk to Tom or Anna. And then we have William and Shanta, and their group is in West Palm Beach. We're going to be coming to your group also because your group's on a Wednesday night. Not this Wednesday, but the following one. If you live in West Palm Beach, come talk to them. They'd love to have you. I can promise you right now, you'll feel so welcome. You'll make new friends. You'll be so encouraged. I was so lifted up going to Connect Group on Tuesday night. I left there on cloud nine. So come and talk to them and join us at Connect Group. Amen. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Also want to... Well, I'm going to get into the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word of God today? I am excited to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart because the Lord gave this to me this week, what I'm going to be sharing with you. And it's I really believe it's going to be a blessing to you. So, Father, just keep on playing. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness toward us. Our Father in heaven, we worship you. And we praise you. We thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to save us, to redeem us. We thank you also, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit to empower us. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place today. We welcome you. We need you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and for your anointing. And I thank you, Lord, that You remove burdens from people today, and you destroy yokes in people's lives. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch every person here today, that not one person will leave the same way that they came in, but they will be changed by your word and by your spirit, Lord. And we give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I also want to just say thank you to the band. What a wonderful job you did today. I feel so blessed already. I tell you right now, I love it, man. I've got to teach you how to clap. You need to learn how to clap. Because when we start clapping, I don't want any of these half-hearted claps. I want a full-on clap till your hands are sore. You ready? Give the worship team a big round of applause, everybody. That's what I'm talking about. When we welcome new visitors, that's how we do it. You got it? When we say, let's give the Lord praise and we clap our hands, that's how you do it. Amen. Well, thank you so much, guys. We're going to get into God's word. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We are continuing with our series, The Covenant of Prosperity. This is part number 3. And if you were not if you're not here for the first two parts, or you didn't watch the first two parts, I want to really encourage you to go back and watch part 1 and part 2. You can watch it on our YouTube channel. You can watch it on our app. If you don't have our app, download our free app. But I would encourage you to go and watch those first two, because I can't go back over everything I've said. But, you know, this series, it's like, you know, it's line upon line teaching. I lay the foundation in week 1, and then we build on that in week 2, and we continue building on it. So you need to really hear all of this. But what we've said is that we have a covenant with God, and it's a covenant of prosperity. In Isaiah 54, in verse 10, the Bible says, my covenant of blessing, say blessing, my covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. So the Bible calls our covenant a covenant of blessing because it includes many, many blessings. It's a covenant of prosperity. And we saw how in part one, we saw how in the Old Testament they had an old covenant God made with Abraham that was sealed with the blood of an animal. And because of that covenant, God prospered them. And I showed you how God prospered Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Job and Solomon and David, how God prospered these men. And then we saw last week how that a covenant is two-sided, that we have a better covenant than what they had in the Old Testament. We have a better covenant with better promises. And you see, our covenant includes everything they had in the Old Covenant and plus much more. So if you tell me, God prospered them in the Old Covenant, but we're in the New Covenant and that doesn't apply to us, then our covenant's not better. But it is better. It includes everything that they had. But now the Bible says that we've got this covenant is two-sided. And we've got a part to play. We've got to obey the terms. We've got to obey the terms of the covenant. You see, our covenant has many blessings. The covenant we have with God has many promises. And promises us blessing and prosperity. And God will always be faithful to fulfill his side of the covenant. But a covenant's two-sided, and we must fulfill our side. We must obey the terms of the covenant. And one of those terms that we must obey is to tithe. I shared on this last week how that tithing is really part of the covenant and it activates your covenant with God. But no, even though we have a covenant that has many, many promises, we have to use our faith to receive the promises God has. So today in part 3, I'm talking about faith for prosperity. You see, you've got to use your faith to receive the promises of God, or you won't enjoy the blessings and promises and prosperity that God wants for you. And we see this with the Israelites. In Psalm 78, I'm going to read this from the New Living and the Passion Bible. I'm going to go back and forth. Let me start out with the New Living Bible, and I'm not going to read the whole psalm, although I would encourage you to do that. But I'm going to pick out certain verses here. In verse 10, it says, they did not keep God's covenant. They refused to live by his instructions. They forgot what he had done. the great wonders that he had shown them. And if you read the Passion Translation, it says they didn't really believe the promises of God. They refused to trust him and move forward in faith. They forgot his wonderful works and the miracles of the past, even their exodus from Egypt and the epic miracle of his might, which is when he parted the Red Sea. In verse 19, it says they even spoke against God himself. They said, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Yes, he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat in the wilderness. And when the Lord heard this, he was furious, and the fire of his wrath burned against Jacob, and his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. Why was God angry? Because they wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't trust him to take care of them in the wilderness, even though they had seen him do amazing miracles. The Passion Bible says, same verse, in verse 19, like spoiled children, they grumbled against God. They said, God, can't God provide for us in this barren wilderness? Will he give us food, or will he only give us water? Where's our meal? Then God heard all their complaining and was furious, and his anger flared up against his people, for they turned away from faith, and they walked away in fear, and they failed to trust in his power to help them when he was near. Verse 32 says they refused to believe God could care for them. The living Bible says they refused to believe in miracles. And verse 34 says they came running back to God, pleading for mercy. They remembered that God, the mighty one, was their strong protector, the hero God who would come to their rescue. See, I only got one hero, and his name is Jesus. He's the only hero in my life. Yeah, Superman ain't no hero. Batman ain't no hero. Spider-Man ain't no hero. Those all make-believe. Jesus is the real hero God. And it says they refused to believe that this hero God would come to their rescue. But their repentance lasted only as long as they were in danger. They lied through their teeth to the true God of covenant. So quickly they wandered away from his promises. What happened? Okay. Then look at verse 41. Again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Continually, they turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. Do you know you can limit God in your life? Do you know that even though God wants to bless you, you can prevent him from blessing you? That's what happened to them. These are the children of Israel, and they had a covenant with God. They were his chosen people. They still are. God still honors that covenant today. Their covenant promised them blessings, promised them provision, promised them prosperity, promised them protection. They had seen God do amazing things, epic miracles on their behalf, yet they still wouldn't believe that God could take care of them in the desert. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, indeed the gospel was preached to them as well as to, the gospel was preached to us, excuse me, as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, this is talking about the Israelites. They did not enter into the promised land of Canaan. God was taking them. He delivered them from Egypt, did amazing miracles, was taking them to the promised land of Canaan. He'd already promised it to them. In fact, he'd already given it to them. And he said to them, you just need to go and take possession. It's already yours. It should have taken them 12 days to walk from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan. But they wouldn't trust God. They turned away from faith. They wouldn't believe him. They wouldn't mix faith with what God said. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It was not the will of God for them to wander in the wilderness. It was their choice. They could have taken that promised land in 12 days. Instead, it took them 40 years. Even though they had a covenant with God, they limited him and they prevented him from blessing them. I'm asking you today, please don't do the same in your life. Please don't limit God in your life. Please don't prevent God from blessing you and prospering you. God wants to prosper you. I want to encourage you to believe God's promises. Believe that God is prospering you. By faith, pull God's promises into the realm of reality. You must use your faith to receive the prosperity that God has for you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him. And they were crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were asking Jesus to heal them. And when he came into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And the Bible says their eyes were immediately opened. Now the New Living Translation says it like this, because of your faith, it will happen. Can I tell you that faith in God and in his word, when you exercise faith, that's what takes the promises of God in the word of God in our covenant and makes them a reality in your life. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33, it says their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into the realm of reality. Do you know that your faith fastens on to the promises of God and pulls them into the realm of reality? And what is faith? Faith is simply believing what God said. Faith is not just believing what God said, but it is saying what God says. And it is acting like what God said is true. For faith to work, you have to speak it. And you have to put action to your faith. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, what I want you to see is what I've underlined. If you have faith, you will say. If you have faith, you will say. Faith, you have to speak out your faith in God for it to work. Faith works when you speak it. If you don't speak it, your faith won't work. You might believe it, but if you don't declare it, it won't be a reality. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, and then I spoke in faith. You see, first you've got to believe what God says, and then you've got to speak out what God says in his word. In other words, the children of Israel, when God said to them, go take the promised land, when they saw the giants, they should have said, no problem. God is with us. He told us to take the promised land. Let's go do it right now. We believe we can do what God said. But they didn't do that. They looked at the giants and they said, oh man, there's giants in the land. Oh, there's walled cities in the land. We can't do it. And they said the opposite of what God said. And that's why they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. In Psalm 107, verse number 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Say, I've been redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed from the curse of poverty. I'm redeemed from the curse of sickness. See, you've let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You got to say so. Did Jesus redeem us from the curse of poverty? You got to say it. Amen. Do you believe God supplies all of your needs? You've got to say it. I believe God's supplying all my needs. You see, you have a covenant with God. And you have promises as part of that covenant. In fact, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. But if you don't mix faith with those promises, if you don't speak those promises out of your mouth, you will never receive them in your life. They will never be a reality, even though they belong to you and you have a right to them by faith. That's how you pull them into the realm of reality. Now, we see this in the life of Abraham. Abraham is the one that God first made covenant with in the Old Testament. And God gave Abraham a promise that he was going to have many, many children, that he would have a son. And Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him this. But it didn't happen for 24 years until Abraham began to declare and confess what God promised him. That's when it happened. I want to show you this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to a land that I will show you. That's the promised land. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So when God said to him, I'm going to make you a great nation, how old was he? 75. Now look at Genesis 15. This is about 8 years later. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord, what will you give me seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, no one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And it says, then God brought Abram outside, and he said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord. Did Abraham believe? Abraham believed. Was Isaac born? No. Isaac wasn't born. But Abraham believed. He had a promise from God. He believed the promise. He had a vision, but it never happened yet. Look at Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, this is 24 years later, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully, live a blameless life, and I will make a covenant with you by which I guarantee to give you countless descendants. And at this, Abram fell down face on the ground, and God said to God said to Abram, this is my covenant with you. I will make you a father of multitudes of nations. And what's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, your name, you will be called Abraham. For you will be the father of many nations. Now, why did God change his name? Because the name Abraham literally means father of a multitude or father of many nations in Hebrew. In Hebrew, when Abraham said his name, nice to meet you, I'm Abraham. What he was saying is, I'm the father of a multitude. So why did God change his name? Because God is helping Abraham to speak out the promise of God. Every time he said his name, he said, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of a multitude. I'm the father of a multitude. Every time he said his name, I'm the father of a multitude. God changed his confession. Now watch what happened. Genesis 21, verse 5. The Lord kept his word, and he did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God said it would, and Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So, how old was Abram when he first got the promise? 75. How old was he when God changed his name? Because after 24 years, even though Abraham believed it hadn't happened, God changed his name. He's 99. How long until Sarah gave birth to a baby? Well, Isaac was born when he was 100. So that's 1 year. How long a woman pregnant for? 9 months. So how long did it take for Abraham to receive the promise after he began to declare it? 3 months. For 24 years, he believed and nothing happened. And let me tell you, you can sit and believe and believe and believe and believe and believe and believe, 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 and nothing happened. But the moment you begin to declare and speak out the promises of God, things start to happen. Then they start to become a reality in your life. That's what I want you to see today. That's what I want you to see. Not only must you speak your faith, you must put action to your faith. Faith without action is dead. Amen? Now, David, we see David do this, man. David defeated Goliath because of his faith in his covenant with God. David activated God as his covenant partner because of what he said and because of what he did. David knew he had a covenant with God, which meant God was on his side. Are you still here? Now, King Saul, he was king at the time, and all the men of Israel, the Israelite army, they had gathered to battle against the Philistine army, and they were camped in a valley called the Valley of Elah. And every day, the Philistine champion, whose name was Goliath, he would come out and he would taunt the army of Israel. And he would challenge them. Send a man to fight me. And if he's able to kill me, then we the Philistines will be your servants. But if I kill him, then all of Israel must become our servants. Now Goliath was over 9 feet tall. The Bible describes the coat of mail that he wore, which is like an armor, weighed 125 pounds. The iron head on his spear, you know, the tip of his spear, weighed 15 pounds. All of the Israelite army were terrified of him, including King Saul. And King Saul was a head and shoulders taller than anyone else in Israel. So King Saul was probably close to 7 feet tall himself. And he's hiding in his tent. David is 15 years old. And he goes to take lunch for his brothers. He's got 3 brothers in the army of Israel. And as David arrives to bring food for his brothers, he sees Goliath. And he hears him taunting the armies of Israel. And David asks, "Who is this?" And the Israelite soldiers tell him, you know, this is Goliath. And David says, what will the man get who kills him? What is the reward? What will the man who kills Goliath, what will he get? And they said, well, the king is promised to make him very rich. Secondly, the king is going to give him his own daughter as a wife. Thirdly, his entire family will be exempt from paying taxes the rest of their life. Now that would have motivated me. I mean, I don't care how big Goliath is. Free tax exemption, I think I would have went for it. David is amazed when he hears this. He actually asks 3 times for them to repeat it because he can't believe it. Because how many of you know your life changes? You marry the daughter of the king, you're royalty. You're rich and you never have to pay taxes. So look what David says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. Watch the first thing David says. David spoke to the men who stood by him and he said, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God. Now, I tell you what, I like David. I mean, I really do. I think he and I are going to get along in heaven real good. I think we're going to be friends. I really do, because I really like him. What does David mean when he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Yes. See, circumcision was a sign of God's covenant with Israel. In Genesis 17, verse 8, God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of this covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. So it says, any male that refuses to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. And if you read down Genesis 17, verse 33, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and every male in his household, including those born there and those he had bought, and he circumcised them all, cutting off their foreskins, just in case you wondered what that is, just as God had told him. You learn so much when you read the Bible, isn't it true? So now, Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised. Now, I'd rather be 8 days old than 99, trust me. And Ishmael was 13. Now, listen to me. In the Old Covenant, circumcision was the sign that they were in covenant with God. That's why David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was saying, who is this man who does not have a covenant with God? How dare he challenge the armies of Israel who have God on their side? That's what he's saying. Now, in our new covenant, we experience a spiritual circumcision. Every believer. Go to that scripture for me if you would. Colossians 2 verse 11. It says, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lusts. Thus you were circumcised when you were buried with him in your baptism, in which you were also raised with him to a new life through your faith in the working of God as displayed when he raised him from the dead. So the Bible says when we get baptized, we experience a spiritual circumcision in our heart where God cuts away the old nature of the flesh. You see, in your heart, you bear the mark of the covenant because you are circumcised and set apart to God in your heart. Are you with me? Now, David knew God's on his side. He knew he's got a covenant with God. He knew God would fight with him and for him. David was not intimidated, even though he was only a teenager. And Goliath was like 10 feet tall, weighing 500 pounds, a champion who'd never been defeated. But David believed in his covenant with God. All the other men in Israel could have done what David did. Any one of them could have done what David did. They could have called on their covenant God, but they didn't. David wasn't even in the army. David was there to feed his brothers. He's a teenager, but he knew his covenant, and he activated his covenant God with his faith. And when King Saul heard, they reported to him what David said, he sent for David. And when David got before the king, he said, King Saul, don't worry about this Philistine. I will go and take care of him. I'll go fight him. And King Saul tried to talk him out of it. He said, listen, David, don't be ridiculous. There's no way that you can defeat Goliath. You're just a boy. He is a champion from his youth. David says to King Saul, listen, King Saul, when I was taking care of my father's sheep, and a lion or a bear came to steal a lamb, I would go after it with a club and I would rescue the lamb. And if the lion or the bear turned and attacked me, I would catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I've killed lion, I've killed bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the bear and from the lion, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Now, how many of you know? You ever seen a lion? You ever been up close to a lion? I have. I've been like as close as, closer. I've been this close to a lion. I was in a Land Rover. And you're safe if you stay in the Land Rover. Get out the Land Rover, it's all over. But if you're in the Land Rover, you keep real still. Here's a lion. By accident, we were on a safari. I dropped a blanket out of the, we had a blanket covering because it's cold in the morning. My blanket dropped and these lions grabbed this blanket. They ripped it to pieces. Trust me, I never even had the thought of getting out that car, that van, and taking on a lion. How about a bear? You ever seen a bear? Do you think a teenage boy could defeat a lion and a bear by himself? I don't think so. I believe David called on his God. And he said, King Saul, listen, the Lord helped me, delivered me from the bear and from the lion. He's going to do the same thing with this uncircumcised Philistine. So King Saul eventually said, okay, David, go. The Lord be with you. Now, I want you to see what David did. I want you to see how David activated his covenant so that God to fight for him. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, David took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in his shepherd's bag. Do we have it up there? It's 1 Samuel 17. You should have that, verse 40. There you go. Now, someone said, why did David choose 5 stones? In case he missed with the first shot? No, because Goliath had 4 brothers. David was prepared to take on them all if he had to. It said he chose 5 stones. He put them in his shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had. His sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before Goliath, his shield bearer. And when the Philistine looked and he saw David, he disdained him. For he was only a youth, a boy, ruddy and good looking. Another translation said he still had peach fuzz on his face. He's just a teenager. He's a good looking young boy. Goliath looks and he says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And he cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Can I tell you something? The devil loves to try and intimidate you. The devil has got a big mouth. And there's only one way to shut him up. You got to speak back to him what God says. That's what David does. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied today. Look what David goes on. He's not done yet. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'll take your head from you. And this day, I'm going to give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, I'm not just going to defeat you, Goliath. I'm going to feed the carcasses of the entire army of the Philistines. The birds are going to eat good today. Then all this assembly will know that the Lord does not save with sword, with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Gosh, you talk about faith in God, man. Let me tell you, David is saying, God is my covenant partner. He's going to fight this battle. He's going to defeat you. He's going to give you in my hand. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it. And he struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead and he fell down on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he struck the Philistine and he killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran. He stood over the Philistine. He took his sword and he drew it out of its sheath and he killed him and he cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And it says, now men of Israel rose up and they shouted and they pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines. They plundered their tents, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Israel. But he put his armor in his tent. Everything David said would happen, happened. Just like he said it. He activated his covenant partner with his faith. His faith worked because of the words that he spoke. And then David put action to his faith. See, maybe as God is telling you today, you need to go apply for that job. You need to go talk to that person. You need to start that business. You need to write that book. You need to write that script. You've got to act on what God is telling you. Amen? You've got to put action to it. Even though you've got a covenant of prosperity, and even though God has promised to provide for you and to prosper you, you've got to use your faith to make the promises of God a reality in your life. Now, I do this in my life by I confess God's promises. And I want to share with you today some of those things that I declare over my life. That's why when you came in today, hand me that sheet, you were given three sheets of paper. Someone said to me, oh, we're going to be a long time today. No, well, here's what I've given you. On page 2, it says, God will provide scriptures. And then on page 3, it says, God will prosper you, scriptures. Now, this is what I do just about every day. I take these scriptures and I declare them over my life. By doing that, I am speaking the promises of God over my life out of my mouth. I am mixing faith with what God says. And I want to help you do that today. Can we take a couple of minutes and go over this? That's kind of the end of my message, and I'll close with that. So let's look with me on God will provide. These are scriptures that I declare over my life. God will provide. Psalm 145 says, you are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. So say this with me. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. Jeremiah 1:12, the Lord said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Say, Lord, thank you that you're watching over your word to perform it. Isaiah 62, by your prayers, put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silent and give him no rest until he brings it to pass. Say, Father, you said that I must put you in remembrance of your promises. So today, I'm reminding you of what you promised. You promised in Philippians 4, verse 19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I take the scripture and I speak it in the first person. So I take that scripture and I say, thank you, Lord. You said I must remind you of your promises. You're faithful to fulfill your promises. You promise my God shall supply all you need. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you supply all the need of Ascend Church according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's what I declare every day. Are you with me? Ephesians 1:22, he alone is the source of everything that is needed in the church. Say this, say, thank you, Lord, that you are my source of everything that I need. I look to you. In Luke 22, verse 35, Jesus said, when I sent you out empty-handed, did you lack anything? And not a thing, they said. God provided all we need. So this is how I say it. I say it like this. Say, thank you, Jesus, when you send out the disciples empty-handed and you ask them, did you lack anything? And they said, not a thing. God provided all we need. Thank you, Lord, that you provide everything I need. Psalm 145, verse 15. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. And another translation, the Message Bible says, you give them their meals on time. And the New Living Translation says, you give them their food when they need it. So say this. Say, Father, I thank you that you provide for me. You give me my meals on time. You give me my food as I need it. You provide my needs every single day in the name of Jesus. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The New Living Translation says, those who trust the Lord will not lack any good thing. Say this, say, thank you, Lord, because I trust you, I will not lack any good thing. Psalm 84, verse 11, just say this with me. I am walking along his path with integrity, and I never lack one thing I need, because he provides it all. How about this? Psalm 23, verse 1. Say this. The Lord is my shepherd. Say it. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have everything I need. I always have more than enough. See, because that's how it says in Psalm 23, verse 1. Go back there. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Living Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And the Passion Bible says, I have more than enough. So every day I declare, thank you, Lord, you're my shepherd. And because you're my shepherd, I don't lack anything. I have everything I need. I always have more than enough. When you declare that, you are mixing faith with what God says. You are declaring it over your life. Here, Psalm 132, I will bless her with abundant provision. Say, thank you, Lord, that you bless me with abundant provision. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, don't worry about these things. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Say this. Say, thank you, Jesus. This is what I say. Say, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to worry about material things. I don't have to worry what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, where I'm going to live. Thank you, Lord, that if I just seek your kingdom first, that all these things are added to me. You give me everything I need when I seek you first. Are you still here? Luke 12, 31 and 32. Each and every day, he will supply your needs as you seek his kingdom above all else. Say, thank you, Lord, that every day you supply all my needs as I seek your kingdom above all else. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having everything you need, you will abound in every good work. And I like the Passion Translation. It says, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, every way. He will make you to overflow with abundance. That's what I declare. Father, I thank you that you make me overflow with abundance. Say that. Say, thank you, Lord, for overwhelming me with your grace, that I have more than enough of everything, every moment, every way. Thank you, Lord, you make me overflow with abundance. Say, I'm overflowing with abundance. And I'll give you this last one, Hebrews 13, 21. May he work perfection into every part of me, giving me all I need to fulfill my destiny. So I declare it. Say that. Say, thank you, Father, that you are working perfection into every part of me, and you give me everything I need to fulfill my destiny. Then I go on to my God will prosper you scriptures, and I begin to declare them. That's on page 3. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. Say this. Say, thank you, Father, that you delight in my prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Say this. This is what I do. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you yourself became poor, so that I, through your poverty, you could make me rich. Thank you, Lord, you are making me rich. Isn't that what it says? 3 John verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. Say that. Say, thank you, Father. It's your will that I prosper in all things. Thank you, Lord, that you are prospering me. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may fulfill his covenant, which is swore to your fathers as it is this day. The Living Bible says he gives you power to become rich. Say this. Say, Father, I want to thank you that you've given me the power to get wealth. You've given me the power to become rich, to fulfill your covenant. Am I saying what the Bible says, or am I making this up? I'm saying exactly what the Bible says. Well, my church doesn't teach that. Hey, listen, then your church doesn't teach the Bible. My church told me, I don't care what they told you. You need to choose. Are you going to believe what God says, or are you going to believe what somebody told you God says? Jeremiah 36, verse 11. If they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their life. Say this. This is what I do. I say, thank you, Father. Say, everyone, say, thank you, Father, that because I am listening to you and obeying you, that I am blessed with prosperity throughout my life. Isaiah 1:19. If you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, I'll make you rich. Say this. Say, thank you, Lord, because I'm obeying you, you're making me rich. Is that what the Bible says? I said, is that what the Bible says? Don't get mad at me. I am simply reading what the Bible says. I just happen to believe it. Now, here's where people stumble. The word rich freaks them out. That's what freaks them out. They don't understand it. I'm not saying you're going to be a multimillionaire. I'm saying the word rich means to have more than enough, so much that you can be a blessing to others. That's what it means. Now listen to this. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Say, thank you, Lord. Your blessing is making me rich. Deuteronomy 28 says, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. So this is what I say. Do this. Say, Father, I thank you because I'm obeying your voice. Blessings are overtaking me. They're chasing after me in Jesus' name. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us so the blessing of Abraham could come upon us. I say, thank you. I say, thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, for I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, so the blessing of Abraham could come on me. Well, how did God bless Abraham? Genesis 24:35. The Lord has greatly blessed my master. He's become a wealthy man. Say, thank you, Lord, you're making me wealthy. That's what God wants for you. That's what he wants. Psalm 112, verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed, and wealth and riches will be in his house. The Living Bible says he'll be wealthy. So I say this. Say, I thank you, Lord, because I fear you. Come on, say it. I thank you, Lord, because I fear you. I delight in your commandments, that my descendants are mighty on earth, and wealth and riches are in my house. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So I'd say it with me, everyone. Say, Father, I thank you because I'm a tither. The windows of heaven are open above me. Thank you, Lord. You're pouring blessing upon me that I don't even have room enough to receive in the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 30, verse 8. If you return to the Lord and obey all the commands I command you today, the Lord your God will prosper everything you do. Say this, Father, I thank you because I obey you. You are prospering everything I do. The New International Version says, the Lord will make you the most prosperous And the Message Bible says your God will outdo himself in making things go well for you. And the New Living Bible says God will make you successful in everything you do. When you follow God and you obey God, thank you, Lord, because I'm obeying you, that you're blessing me. Everything I do, you make everything I do successful. And then Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in everything you do. Say, Father, I thank you that I have a covenant with you. And because I'm obedient to you, thank you that you prosper everything I do. Everything I put my hand to, God blesses it and God prospers it. Do you get something out of this today? Let me tell you, when you mix your faith with the promises of God and you begin to declare them, that's what pulls them into the realm of reality. That's when they become a reality in your life. You have a covenant of blessing and prosperity. I want to encourage you, take advantage of it. By faith, claim the promises of God. I've given you a few. There are 7,000 promises. And if you'll take those promises and begin to believe them and declare them, they'll become a reality in your life. They are promises of healing, deliverance, freedom, prosperity, favor, guidance, direction, wisdom, everything you need. Amen. Because prosperity, can I tell you something? Prosperity won't just fall on you like a ripe apple off a tree. You have to use your faith to prosper. You have to be willing to fight the good fight of faith. Because I have found that the devil will fight you. He doesn't want you to prosper. Because the more you prosper, the more of a blessing you can be, and the more you can support the kingdom of God. Amen. You receive it today? Praise the Lord. Well, can I do that? There you go. Well, we are going to put some action to our faith. If your faith isn't stirred up after that, I've done the best I can do. Listen to it again. Listen to it again. But right now, we are going to honor the Lord, and we are going to demonstrate our faith by being obedient to do what he said. We're going to honor the Lord by bringing the tithe and the offering into God's house. Somebody asked me last week, Pastor Steve, I said, what is tithing? How do I do it? Very simple. One tenth, the first dollar out of every 10, you bring it into God's house and you present and worship him with it. And when you tithe into God's house, he opens the windows of heaven and he pours blessings upon you. That's how it works. It's just that easy. If you earn $1,000, your tithe is $100. If you earn $5,000, your tithe is $500. Simple, simple. So we're going to honor the Lord with our tithes and our offerings today. And if you're watching online, I want to encourage you to be part of this. You can give online. There are various ways of giving at our church. You can give by PayPal. You can give by Cash App, Zelle Giving. You can give online on our website, ascendchurch.us. You can, if you're sitting in the service today, there's an envelope in the seat back in front of you. Just take that envelope. You can give by cash, check, card. I mean, we just about every way you can make it as convenient as possible. So go ahead and get ready, because we're going to pray and we're going to trust God. Let me tell you, I am believing God for financial breakthroughs in your life. I'm believing God for financial miracles in your life. I'm believing God for financial miracles in this church. Because let me tell you, listen to me. You need to get a hold of this, because the things out there in the world are getting darker. And I think that there are some tough times ahead. But if you are operating in the covenant of God, it doesn't have to affect you. God will provide for you in the middle of a famine. He'll provide for you in the middle of a desert. If you'll just follow him and obey him, that's why you've got to get a hold of this. Amen. Are you ready to give today? All those who tithe, shout amen. Let me hear the tithers shout out amen. All the tithers shout it out amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank you and praise you. We want to thank you, Lord, that we have a covenant with you. We want to thank you, Lord, that because of that covenant, you've promised to bless us, to prosper us, to provide for us. Thank you, Lord, that as we keep outside of the covenant, as we honor you by tithing and putting you first, we thank you, Father, that you open up the windows of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you pour blessings that we cannot contain. We thank you that you rebuke the devourer, that we have divine protection, Lord. Thank you for that we have supernatural provision. We have supernatural protection. Thank you, Father, that you supply all our need in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen.
I'll do that. How many of you ladies have signed up to come to the ladies' brunch on Saturday morning? Good. I can't wait. And we're so excited. We've been planning it. We've got some good things in store for you. I know we're going to have a great morning. So it's Saturday, May the 13th. It's the Saturday coming up, which will be the day before Mother's Day. And we don't gather together as ladies all that often, just a few times a year. So if you can, I know some people are working and they have things they can't get out of. But if you at all possible, join us on Saturday morning. But we need you to go and put your name down because there's maybe 12 spots that are still open. And if you don't get in there first, you'll have to wait for next time. But Deanne, we've got some great brunch ready for you. Some people ask, what can I bring? You don't have to bring anything. Bring your beautiful self and bring a friend. But if you bring a friend, you better put their name down now. Don't bring them on the day if you didn't give us their name because we won't be a seat for them. We're going to have a great time next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Make sure you let us know today so we can finalize everything with it. Awesome.
My good hand. Good morning, church. We have a couple announcements for you guys for Ascend Youth. I know we've mentioned it a couple weeks back, but if we have the slide, it's the Fire Conference, Rodney Howard Brown's church, which is a powerful, Holy Ghost-filled church. It's called Revival Ministries International, and they're holding a youth conference for a whole week. We're going from Wednesday through Saturday. We're taking two cars, and it's the total with transportation, with a hotel cost, breakfast and dinner, and some snacks. It's $250. And that's the total amount's going to be due on July 2nd. But we need to get a head count on who's coming as soon as possible. So the date here is May 21st. We're going to have a couple laptops out in the lobby and some balloons. And just if you have your kids who are between the ages of 13 and 18 who obviously come to church, but also the ones, their friends, who don't know the Lord, this is an amazing opportunity because one touch from God, one presence, one encounter with the living God can change their lives. And I believe the Lord is raising up the next generation of youth. And I believe this conference is not just a conference where kids are going to get together and play games, as that's going to happen, but it's going to be a Holy Spirit-filled fire conference, just like in Acts 2 where the tongues of fire rested on their hands, their heads, and they were filled with the Spirit. So this is going to be a powerful experience and powerful conference. So, if you have any of your kids are that age, or if you know kids that would be really touched by this, I would encourage them to come and bring them on May 21st. And it's a $100 deposit just so that we get a solid head count of who's coming. So.
We also have another event coming up before that on June 3rd, Sunrise Service. So we do with these events that are free. We want the youth to bring their friends, but also too for the sunrise service, we really want to invite the whole family to come, siblings, parents, all of that, because one of the things that we saw in the vision for Ascend Youth was to really build a strong community for the youth at this church, and parents are included in that too. So at 6 a.m., we're going to see you guys at the beach somewhere in Juneau. We'll get the shower number, I think, soon. But then we're going to go to Juneau Beach Cafe afterwards. So we just want to have a fun time of worship and teaching on the beach at sunrise. It's a really special time, and we would love to see you guys there.
Thank you, Abel and Michelle. Stand up with me, everybody. Just bow your head for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, no one looking around. This is so important, what's going to happen right now, because I want to pray especially for anyone here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I would go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church, but I can't say that I know for certain. I can't say that I'm 100% sure that I would go to heaven. Can I tell you the good news today is that you can be 100% sure. You can walk out of here this morning, and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and God. You can walk out of here today knowing for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Can I tell you that heaven is a real place? That there is a heaven that awaits us. And hell is a real place. There is a hell to shun, to avoid. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask you to come and stand at the front, but right where you are, while our eyes are closed and while our heads are bowed, this is between you and God. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that is you, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, I'm going to ask you quickly, just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand in the air, because I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. Just put it up right now. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you, Lord. I want everyone to say this prayer, please. The scripture says in Romans 10, in verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Everybody say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus to come to this earth and die on a cross for me. I believe that Jesus is alive, and I confess Jesus is the Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord, and I'm going to follow you. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Listen, God bless you. I want to encourage you to, next Sunday is Mother's Day, and my wife is going to be preaching. She's got an awesome message. I want to encourage you to invite someone next Sunday. Please invite and bring someone with you. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next Sunday morning, Mother's Day. God bless you. We'll see you then.